You're listening to an Aeon podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Digging Into Gardening, the gardening podcast that offers up a range of quick tips and ideas to help you become the successful home gardener you've always wanted to be. In this series, we chat to gardening guru Simon Van Roy. Simon, who was born into a family of gardeners and raised in a nursery, has spent his life learning the tricks of the trade. Simon is an experienced gardener, nursery manager, and is full of useful tips and fun facts. In this episode, we cover the topic of indoor plants, and Simon provides us with a simple list of do's and don'ts to help us not only keep them alive, but help them live their best indoor plant life. Simon, I'd love to join the plant mum craze, but thus far I've had very minimal luck keeping my indoor plants alive. Can you help me?
We can certainly try and help. Indoor plants are becoming insanely popular and are incredibly popular at the moment. And let's be honest, there's nothing nicer, be it in an office space, be it in your bedroom, or just simply having some greenery to soften the inside of our homes and make our air cleaner that we're breathing all the time and just make a more tranquil environment. Most people now are leading such busy lives that having the ability to literally stop and smell the roses can be very, very beneficial. And indoor plants are a huge part of some people's gardening lives. In fact, some people have entire gardens entirely contained inside their house now.
That's amazing.
It is. It's absolutely incredible. So there are some really basic tips to indoor plant growing. And the best advice I can give anyone who is either deciding to make a start into indoor plants or have already been growing lots of indoor plants and simply want to expand their range or better look after the plants that they've got, the most important thing is to understand what the plant's needs are going to be. The term indoor plant is a huge range of things and covers a ginormous variety of plant species, from cacti, succulent, to indoor tropical species, large growing palms. There's a huge range of different choices, and lots of different decisions will have to be made as to how they are maintained, how big do they get, and the environment that you plan to grow them in. So have a think about what you're looking to achieve with indoor plants. And then once you've found some plants that you like the look of, do a little bit of research into what sort of environment they naturally like. Because contrary to popular belief, most indoor plants don't actually come from inside houses.
No.
Their natural environment in a lot of cases are going to be rainforests, or there will be more natural outdoor environments where those plants have naturalized. And we simply are bringing them indoors to get some of that benefit from them inside our homes. So understand what environment your plants will come from naturally, and that way you can look to better emulate the environment that they need to thrive. That's not to say you actually have to plant a rainforest inside your house, but think about the basic traits of the environment that they come from. If you're looking at rainforest type species, they're going to like higher humidity, high moisture content through the growing season, which is usually the warmer times of the year. You might also find that they're varieties of plants that, say, don't like a lot of direct sun, or maybe stretch towards the light, depending on the type of plant that you've got. So consider how that might affect the growing conditions and what conditions you have inside your house and what you're going to need. The amount of light that you have inside your home, so, and the position that you're going to put the plants, is going to be really important. So before you charge out and buy everything that looks funky in the nursery, have a bit of a plan as to where you're going to position the plants and therefore what that environment is going to be. The plant choices for a open air, drafty, but cold, dark corridor are going to be very different to the plant choices that you might have on a warm, sunny, bright, well-lit windowsill. So making the right plant choice is definitely going to be important for the conditions that you've got.
Okay, so say I've done that, I've made my choices, car's full of pots. As far as taking care of them goes and drainage and whatnot, when do I drain, when do I not drain? What's the plan?
Drainage is the most common cause of problems and pest and disease on plants that we see, and it normally comes from a basic lack of understanding. Plants need to have drainage. Very few plants like to sit in standing water that is either not being oxygenated or that simply pools and puddles around the bottom of the pot and stops the plant from continuing to drain and slowly depletes the oxygen that's available to
the plant. Like a Venus flytrap, for example.
Say, for example, they're a plant which does quite happily sit in water through the summertime, but during the cooler months when the plant goes into a more of a dormant phase, will often prefer to have a better well-drained environment and allow oxygen to circulate around the roots. So again, understanding the basics of that plant's needs gives you an indication as to how you're going to look after that plant when you get it home. Drainage, in most cases, is absolutely important. And you'll find that these days when you go to choose these beautiful decorator pots that are on the market, many of them won't have drainage holes. But don't despair, that's not a problem. These are what we refer to as decorator or cover pots, and they're simply designed to have another pot slip inside of them and can be taken in and out when it comes to watering and caring for your plant. It gives you a huge amount of versatility, both in the size of the plant that you use, the conditions in which you grow it, even changing the plants based on the season, your mood, whether guests are coming around. You can move your plants around your home simply by taking the smaller pot that they're growing in, lifting it out of your decorator pot and slipping it into a different pot. It also means as your plant's needs change over time, maybe the plant gets too big, maybe the plant needs to be repotted on a regular basis, it's very simple to slip out the inside plastic pot, do all the work on the plant that needs to happen, and then it can be simply slipped back inside the pot. These pots won't drain, so they will retain moisture. So when you go to water the plant, the easiest thing to do is simply take it out of the pot, take it over to the sink or the bathroom, soak and thoroughly hydrate all the potting mix, allow it to drain for a little while, and then slip it back into the pot. You want to avoid that plant sitting in a puddle of its draining water, because again, that will deplete the oxygen from the plant, and that can lead to problems.
If you're going to soak it, would you do it in a bucket, for example, and have the top of the soil outside of the water?
So soaking a plant in a bucket is a really effective way to thoroughly hydrate all the potting mix that's in the pot. So whether that be by submerging the plant and the pot entirely into the water so that all the oxygen and the bubbles bubble up out of the pot, that's a way of determining exactly how well hydrated your potting mix absolutely is. You can also choose to simply sit your plastic pot in a bucket or container of water and allow the plant to draw up the moisture through the lower drainage holes and maintain that high level of moisture through all the potting media. That process does take a little bit longer. You generally need to sit your plant in water for a couple of hours depending on the size of the pot. Sometimes it's easier to just simply submerge the pot or take it out onto your patio, out into the backyard, water it like you would any other pot plant and thoroughly give it a good hosing over, wetting all the potting mix from the top to the bottom of the pot, at which point leave it in a nice cool shaded spot for a few hours, let it begin to drain and then bring it back inside and slip it into your pot. Of course, there's always the choice of planting that plant out into one of those pots. Some pots that you buy now, you'll see small little plug holes in the bottom and you can simply remove the plug, and at which point when the pot has drainage, you can fill it with potting mix and plant your plant into that pot. It can mean that you've got a bigger pot for your indoor plant to grow in, which can mean easier to look after, more longevity, but it can also mean that the pot plant becomes a little bit heavier and a little bit harder to water, because when you do water it, it will drain out the bottom. A lot of people try and get around this by simply giving the pot plant only a very small amount of water, trying to find that secret little spot between getting enough water in the plant but not having any water dribble out onto the floor. It's not a good way to water most plants. If you are going to water a plant, water it really thoroughly. Take the plant outside, maybe consider for larger pots onto the caster trolleys, the little raised saucers with wheels underneath them, so you can move your pot plant around the house. Take it to an area and thoroughly hydrate the potting mix from top to bottom. Simply giving a small amount of water, say half a cupful on one side of the pot, will mean that you have both wet and dry potting mix in the same pot at the same time, and it tends to lead to disease and fungal problems with your plants. So if you're going to water, water really thoroughly. As a basic rule, water your indoor plants when the soil starts to dry out. There is no hard and fast rule as to how often, how frequently, or how much water you need to give, because it will change depending on the environment that your plant's looking for, the type of plant that you've got, how big the plant is, or how big the pot is, will all affect how much water is going to be needed. So whenever we're asked, how often should I water this? Our answer is always the same. When the soil starts to dry out, it's an indication that you'll need to thoroughly hydrate that soil to adequately water your plant. So if in doubt, allow the soil to begin to dry, and then when watering, ensure that it's a very thorough watering to wet all the potting mix from the top to the bottom of the pot.
Great tips. And what about misting then? Because it feels a bit fancy when we're misting, but are we actually achieving anything?
Absolutely. So misting can be the biggest problem or can be the biggest saviour for some plants. And once again, it all comes down to what does your plant actually want? If your plant comes from a super dry, arid environment, say for cacti and succulent, it's going to hate having wet leaves, stems, or parts of the plant on a regular basis. So misting is a big no-no. Misting is generally used to create and increase humidity within an environment. Now, in the middle of winter, even just misting is not going to create humidity without higher temperatures. So a lot of plants that like high humidity and high moisture content in our air will enjoy misting, but through the warmer summer periods only. Often during winter, having wet, cold leaves can lead to further fungal diseases. Your plant will give you indications of these. Black spots, marking on the foliage can all be indications that it's not enjoying its current environment. So have a think again about the type of plant that you've got and the environment in which it would naturally grow. If it comes from a tropical rainforest in equatorial areas, you're probably going to need to do some misting in the middle of summer to help promote all that moisture and humidity in our air. But come winter, you might need to stop it completely. So understanding the plant and the environment that it comes from will let you know whether or not misting is going to be appropriate.
I have a question then about dust on leaves, right?
Yes.
So it obviously tends to accumulate. You can miss it sometimes and it just gets quite bad. I use like a microfiber cloth to get it off the leaves.
Perfect.
Is that the best way?
Absolutely. Again, in a natural environment, plants get their leaves cleaned by things like rainfall, which we don't generally want in the living room. So every so often, take your plant into an outdoor environment and simply hose it down. It's one of the easiest ways to remove any artificial elements that might be present on the leaves, dust, anything like that, and simply wash it off. As you say, you can use a microfiber cloth to clean and wipe over the leaves. That also ensures that the delicate pores which exist on plants' leaves and allows the plant to transpire and literally breathe are also not getting clogged with all the contaminants and dust and things like that from our house. So it is important to wipe over and clean them, but just a damp cloth is all you need. There are products out there for leaf shining and things like that, and a lot of those products simply use artificial oils or synthetic oils to give that shine to the leaves. And some plants, ferns especially, really don't like that. It can block those pores and actually stop the plant from breathing and lead to other problems. So the best thing you can do is simply wipe them over on a regular basis with a damp cloth and every so often take them outside, give them a good hose down to freshen up that foliage.
Okay, and what about potting mix? Is it all the same as indoor, outdoor potted plants?
Very different. And once again, all comes back to what your plant's needs are. If you're going to look at arid options such as cacti and succulent, they like a really open, coarse, free draining mixture. You can buy specific cacti and succulent mixtures from your local garden centre and they'll tend to be structured ideally for these types of plants. They'll have plenty of sand through them to give them structure so that your plants don't fall apart over time, but they have great drainage properties as well as containing various minerals and other nutrients to feed those plants. As say, compared to a mixture that might be designed for ferns or other high water indoor plants which might utilise koi or peat or other mediums to retain extra moisture around the roots of the plants. So understanding the type of plant that you've got and what its water requirements are going to be over time will help direct you to the right type of mix. No matter what type of mix and what type of plant you're growing, having oxygen in the soil is going to be key. So it's unlikely that you would be using heavy soil types such as garden soil or soil mediums which contain a lot of clay. They'll tend to be wet and boggy, and that can lead to problems such as fungus gnats and other diseases inside the home, which can be a real pain in the backside to deal with. So the more oxygen you have within the soil, generally the healthier your plants will be.
And finally, lots of people talk to their plants, Simon. I do. Am I a weirdo?
No, not at all. Not at all. You are one of very, very, very many people who enjoy a deep and meaningful conversation with their indoor plants. The only things to be keeping an eye on there is whether or not they respond, at which point seek some further help. There have been scientific studies carried out in reference to music and plants responding to sound, light, as well as other noises in the environment. And studies from overseas have suggested that talking to and playing music for your plants can actually lead the plant to be stronger and healthier and happier. and it may well help you out as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Simon, for all of your knowledge today. I'm pretty sure our listeners will be singing to their plants tonight now.
Absolutely.
This has been episode 3 of Digging Into Gardening. I hope you found it as useful as I have. In episode 4, Simon reveals his insider secrets to tropical gardens, how to design them and keep them healthy. If you've enjoyed this episode and would like more information on this or other topics, visit the blog section of manawee.com.au.